Spiritual growth. That's what I want to talk about today. Spiritual growth or spiritual maturity. In the little book of 1 John. John, we're studying the book of Revelation. John wrote the book of Revelation as Jesus told him to write these things down. And he is also one of the disciples. He was called the Beloved. He wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote three little books called 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. But this morning I want to share the one out of 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 12. Every time you read John, you'll say he's addressing us as little children. And I think that is so powerful. New Living Translation says this, "I am writing to you, my dear children, because your sins have been forgiven because of Jesus. I'm writing to you who are mature because you know Christ, the one who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you who are young because you have won the battle with Satan. I have written to you, children, because you have not known the Father. I have written to you who are mature because you know Christ, the one who is from the beginning." And it says, "I have written to you who are young because you are strong with God's living word in your hearts, and you have won the battle with Satan." And he goes on to say in verse 15, "Stop loving this evil world and all that it offers. For when you love the world, you will know that you do not have the love of the Father in you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. He gives us an awful lot of wisdom in the little books. But the other thing is about our growth. Not so much our physical growth, but our spiritual growth. It's important that we take care of that too. Jack Van Impe is one of the mentors that I have. He's now back on television on Channel 4. Channel 40 on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. He is the author of the commentaries that we're using in the study of the book of Revelation. I follow a lot of them. A lot of them are just wonderful pastors and teachers, and one of them is Warren Wiersbe. Anybody ever listen to Warren Wiersbe? Well, he's a well-known Bible teacher all over the world, in fact, and he had once made a very incredible statement. He said, "After 40 years of ministry, I'm convinced that spiritual immaturity is the number one problem in our churches." A cute little story about that. Little boy was up late at night, and he went to bed, and his mother heard this gosh-awful crash, and she walked into the room, and there he was laying on the floor. She said, "How did you do that? Why did you fall out of bed?" He said, "I don't know. I guess I stayed too close to where I got in." Think about that. Too close to where he got in. Many Christians do that with their faith. For most of the Christian life, they stay too close to where they got in. And they let the world keep challenging them. You see, we often think of growing up as showing up. We think that a person who comes to church on Sunday morning and perhaps even attends a Bible study in the evening or later, or holds an official position in the church as a lay leader or Sunday school teacher or committee member or trustees, and they said, well, you would think in your mind's eye that they are the most mature Christians ever. But I've been to a lot of churches in the years that I've been in the ministry, and that's not always the case. Some of the most immature Christians that I've known have been in a Bible study for a long, long time. And some immature Christians that I've known had held offices in the church. In fact, I go a little further in addition to what Dr. Wiersbe said, that the second greatest problem in the church is having spiritual immaturity in the people that worship, especially in leadership. Thank God we don't have that in this church. But it's a common thing in churches our day and time. He was saying about the military people receiving the Gideon. It used to be issue. The Bible, the little Testament was part of the issue when a soldier went through basic training and enlisted. But the maturity that we want to talk about is the maturity that your Heavenly Father's goal is to be mature in every way and every day with your Christian life. The sad truth that there's millions of Christians who grow old, but they never grow up, spiritually, that is. I want to share a couple of scriptures with you. That'll maybe just let us think about that a little bit. Over, my grandson says, Trevor, it's what he says. Over, you say the same thing, over. Well, over, we were told that God wants us to grow. In the English Standard Version, in Ephesians 4:15, it says, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 in the New Living Translation says, so let us stop going over the basics of Christianity again and again, over. Let us go on and become mature Christians. 1 Peter 2:2 in the English Standard Version says, like newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk, that by you may grow up in salvation. In the natural world, babies want milk and they enjoy it. But the spiritual milk is what we have, and then we need to go past the spiritual milk and grow in grace. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, in the Message Bible is very, a fellow took the scriptures and he translated them into some languages that we deal with today, which is good. I have come to find out, no matter which translation it is, as long as it's a good translation, no matter which version of it is, you cannot take the spiritual meat out of God's word, because the spiritual translations and ones that are done will get in your spirit and they will minister to you. So growth is the goal of a Christian. Maturity is mandatory for every child of God. So when a Christian starts growing and then they quit growing, they usually backslide, because you'll never stay the same. If you are the same Christian today that you were a year ago, then you're not a Christian that you should be or ought to be, because you're not growing in grace. And I want to share this message this morning, how we can attain spiritual growth or spiritual maturity. If you notice in verses 12 through 14 that I read in 1 John, he identifies three levels of spiritual maturity. In verse 12, he speaks of little children. In verse 13, he talks of the father and also of young men. Now, you can also, you don't need to, this is for, when they say men, it's for people too, all of us, male and female. So you see the same thing when we look out over the congregation. Physically, I can identify the children. I can usually identify those who are younger or middle age, but I cannot equate physical maturity with spiritual maturity. So in other words, you cannot determine the spiritual maturity of an individual by their physical maturity. You look at some that's got gray hair, been around a long, long time, you just think they got it all together spiritually. Not so much. So if you look at the spiritual food in the Bible, you'll see that there's that Greek word for children in verse 13 refers to an immature baby. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a baby. I was a baby once. Were you a baby once, you think? Yeah, and we become dependent on who was taking care of us. They would feed us. They'd change our diapers. They would take good care of us. But then we had to grow. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, we are to desire the milk of the word like newborn babies. But even though there's nothing wrong with being a baby, there is something wrong with staying a baby. Our churches today are also filled with baby Christians, people who are spiritually still in the nursery, if you would. That's a fitting description, because the characteristic of a baby, that is the most descriptive thing, is babies are selfish. They want what they want when they want it, and if they don't get it, what do? Cry. And they keep on crying until they get it. So who needs to do that about our spiritual life? We need to do that on our own. Whenever we give babies what they want, do they ever thank you? No. Do they ever try to help someone else? No. Do they ever give anything except what they deposit in that little diaper that they wear? No. All a little baby does is take. And all a little baby cares about is themselves. So we are, from the moment we are born into God's family, we come in as a baby. A baby Christian. You hear that term a lot. But we don't want to stay a baby Christian. We need to grow into the next stage of our maturity. And John refers to the second category as young people, or young men, as it says in the scriptures. Now, these are Christians who have moved from baby's milk to adult meat. They are beginning to learn that they are responsible for their own spiritual maturity. And they are beginning to learn that God can speak to them through the Word of God, through the Bible. God can answer their prayers just like He can a pastor or a minister that's preaching a teaching. You don't need a pastor or a minister to help you read the Bible. You can do that on your own. You got questions, you come and we talk about them and help you to grow that way. And the goal is to reach the father stage or the mother stage, the mature Christian. John repeats himself when he talks about fathers. He says in verse 13, "Fathers have known him who is from the beginning, the Father, Jesus." And he says exactly the same thing in verse 14. "Fathers have known him who is from the beginning." Now, the ultimate mark of spiritual maturity is when you know God. You know not just the will of God or the work of God or the ways of God or even the Word of God. You know God because the more you know about the Heavenly Father, the more you're going to grow and become like the Father. We are to imitate Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. So we imitate Jesus, and that's how we grow. If you remember when Jesus came into this world, a little baby, and he grew. The Bible said he grew in wisdom and stature. So there's obviously a process that we must follow to take from being a baby Christian to a young adult Christian to an older adult Christian. Growth is not automatic. You can't get it by I'm still with a little bit of jet lag this morning. But some words I have a hard time saying, that's one of them. There's obviously, though, a process that one must follow to become a baby Christian, a young Christian, an adult Christian, because spiritual growth is not automatic. You got to decide to grow. You got to make an effort to grow. You got to continue to grow. Churches are filled with people who have not made the commitment to grow. I can't say that about this church because you guys have made a commitment to grow, and I'm just so proud and honored to be a part of a fellowship who really seeks and not only proclaims the Word of God, but acts on the Word of God. You see, an active member is not necessarily the same as a mature member. But the truth about spiritual maturity is intentional. It requires commitment. It requires determination. It requires work. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, is in a different translation. This is from the New Living Translation. It says, "You must crave pure spiritual milk so that you can grow." A young man once came to the great teacher Socrates. He said, "Socrates, would you be my teacher?" Socrates told the young man, "Follow him." So he turned and he walked into the ocean. The young man followed him into the sea, and they kept walking and walking. The water beginning to come up and up, and then finally when it touched their lips, Socrates turned around and put both hands on the young man's head and pushed him under the water. The young man, wanting to be a complied student, trying to learn all he could, stayed there for a while. But as soon as he began to spit and sputter and bubbles started coming up, Socrates took his hands off of him. Soon the man began knowing that he couldn't breathe when he was down there. And Socrates took his hands off and then he said, "Why did you do that?" He said, "Because when you want to learn as much as you wanted to breathe, then you, and then I will be your teacher. You got to hunger for it. You got to want it." So when you really begin to crave spiritual growth, it's like a baby craving milk. and when you begin to really grow and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how you develop this spiritual maturity? Well, in order to leave childhood, you must become a young adult. And according to 1 John 2:14, the mark of a young adult is this. John said, I have written to you, young people, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. That's how we take care of the devil. You know, the says if Jesus said it when the devil was tempting him, get thee behind me, Satan. You can learn all these things as you grow in maturity. So the word abide means to live with. And if you're going to grow as a Christian, you must live with the word of God, and you must live the word of God. Then you will be able to live by the word of God. And it's very plain, unless you get into the word of God yourself on a consistent basis, you will never grow to full spiritual maturity. It's just that simple. And those who want to grow, read their Bibles. And those who don't want to grow, don't read their Bibles. A little further deep into the spiritual maturity thing, because it's got to be a priority in your life. Bible study must become a priority. You cannot read a newspaper for 1 hour or watch television for 3 hours and read your Bible in 3 minutes and expect to grow in the spiritual sense. And I wonder how many of us would claim to believe the Bible from cover to cover. Most of us, do you believe the Bible from cover to cover? Yeah, I do. But how many people read the Bible from cover to cover? I like that little thing that he had there. It will give you, there's little programs and little, and it's not hard to do. I had a Bible that allowed you to read it daily, little snippets, and then at the end of the year, you went through the whole Bible. I did it 4 times. I'd love to memorize all those scriptures, but I don't. But one thing I did learn by doing that, when I have a challenge or I need to know something, I know where to find it in the Bible. And that's important. Do you realize that if you read your Bible just 15 minutes a day, you will completely read through it in 1 year? If you cut out one 30-minute television program a day and read your Bible instead, you'll read the entire Bible through twice. I heard a preacher say one time that the devil's not afraid of the Bible with dust on it, and that's true. Just as no soldier's afraid of the sword that is still in his sheath, the devil's not afraid of the Bible that's never opened. And I can tell you one thing for sure, big Christians are big Bible Christians. In reality, God's manual, the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. Now, each one of those purposes are very important in our Christian life. The Bible gives us doctrine so we know what is right. Then it gives us reproof so that we can know what is not right. It then gives us correction that tells us how to get right. And then it gives us instructions so that we can know how to stay right. Fortunately, we went to St. Louis in airplanes. I say fortunately because it's a long drive, although it turned out to be a lot of hours too with the delays and so forth. But if Judy and I decided to drive to St. Louis from Tallahassee, I speak to her and I talk to her because she reads maps, which is really good. We've tried this GPS stuff a couple times and we got lost. So she said, I know how to read a map. Get the map and that's what we'll do. So sure thing, she sits down and she maps out where we're going to go and plot the course. And I drive and she tells me where to slow down or where you got to be. She is, in essence, my navigator. Well, the correct course when you plan out a trip is doctrine. And it tells me what is right and guide me to my destination. But suppose that I'm just driving along and Judy's napping. I'm not saying she naps, but I'm just saying maybe she's napping and not navigating which way we should go. It's usually on a long trip, and I'll foolishly take the wrong exit. I did that the other night coming back from the airport. There was a sign up there that said, to downtown and to FAMU. So I turned. She said, don't turn there. It's a parking lot. I said, no, the sign says right. I went in there. Sure enough, it was the parking lot. I had to turn around and go back out. But that's not always what happens. Sometimes we miss the exit, even though we're paying attention. And that's what it is about things in the spiritual life, too. When we make a wrong turn or we do something wrong, it's called repentance. You just repent, you get straightened out, you get back on the track, and off you go. You can do a lot of things that'll help you along the road in your spiritual maturity. But if you do not take time every day to spend time with the Word of God so that you can hear the voice of God and the Word of God, you will stay a spiritual baby for the rest of your life. So don't think that you can come to church once a week or be spoon-fed with a 35-minute sermon and be able to have enough nourishment to last you the whole week. It just doesn't happen. Just as you eat food for your physical body, you must eat the meat of the Word of God and your soul. So when you're not at church or whatever, I love taking our daily bread with us because it's got the scriptures and it's got a little devotion and it's got a commentary. So even if you can't take your Bible with you, take something that you can feed yourself spiritually. Now I want to be very careful about this statement that spiritual maturity is demonstrated more by how you behave than what it is and what you believe. If you believe or you say that you believe, doesn't matter if you don't behave like you believe. Sometimes you'll hear people, Christians will be doing things they shouldn't be doing, and somebody will say, if that's what Christians are like, I don't want to be one. So you always got to behave like a child of God. In James chapter 3, verse 13, it says, you see sometimes that we get the idea that if a person knows a lot about the Bible, he or she must be mature. Who among you is wise, James said, in understanding? Let them show themselves by good behavior. Now, I've known Bible study teachers that have a lot of head knowledge about the Bible, but they're not spiritually mature. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 that knowledge without love puffs you up. You see, maturity is not how much you know about Christ in your head. It's how much you know Christ in your heart. How much does Jesus show in your life? That's why the mark of maturity is obedience. James chapter 1, verse 22 in today's English version says, do not deceive yourself by just listening to his word. Instead, put it into practice. Some translation says, faith without works is dead. That's what they're talking about. So whether you're a preacher or a Bible teacher or a group leader, remember this. The objective of teaching and preaching is not just to provide information. It's to help change lives. God is more important with your character than he is with your comfort. And the way that we get to demonstrate spiritual maturity is through the various circumstances that come into our life. Because every time something happens to us, good, bad, or ugly, it gives us an opportunity to respond the way God would have us respond, according to his word. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How does God produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? By putting us in the exact type of circumstances that forces us to bear fruit needed in a particular situation. Do you know any people around you that maybe you work with or live next door that are unlovable? I was unlovable in my life, and I was so glad that God loved me when I was unlovable. God wants us to use these people to teach us how to love. If you ever had your heart broken by a guy or a girl or death in the family, God brings sorrow into your life to teach you joy. Now, that kind of sounds crazy. Anybody here in the middle of a storm this morning? Trying to develop peace within your heart? The next time you're wondering why you're going through a difficult time in your life, just remember God's wanting to use that situation so that you can demonstrate both to the saints and the sinners that you have some spiritual maturity about us. God's viewpoint and how to handle stress in our life. We attended our grandson's boot camp graduation. We were up there with him. Wednesday was family day. We got to spend most of the day with him. Got to ask him a lot of questions. And about the distinguished thing of the repetition that they go through, the meticulous training that the soldiers receive. And all new recruits understand some of the rationale behind their training. Not everybody. Some of us said, these guys are pretty mean. But one newcomer came to camp, confused and even angered by the drill instructor's obsession with detail. And I asked Brock that, too, because somebody told me, and I know Don was a Marine, but I heard one time that the Marines have a certain way that they have to hold their tray when they go through the chow line. And I was asking Brock if that was the case with them. He said, no, they make us hang on to it with both hands and hold it there like this. And the discipline of that is when we get to go and throw in grenade trainings. But the Marines, if I'm right in what I heard, the Marines have them do that so that when they get into battle and they get their gun, that's the way they're going to hold it when they run. Repetition. And a simple thing like in the chow line. They begin to wonder, why standing in a food line, holding a tray in a particular way, as I said, that kind of that repetition comes in when it gets time for them to get their guns. That's why they have to hold them when they're running. So many times we find ourselves in situations where we're having to respond certain ways, and we may not understand the circumstances or the response, but God is using that to train us for the future, to build character within us. When we had prayer with Brock up there and we got in a circle, I said, you know, when you join man's army, 6, 8, 9 weeks, they're going to kick you out. But when you join the Lord's army, you're in basic training until he comes for us or we go home to be with him. To kind of close this up a little bit, I give you a lot of things about spiritual growth. But how do we do it? How do we develop it? Because there's no such thing as instant spiritual growth. It's a gradual progress. It's a development. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:1 in the New Living Translation, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and then again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Spiritual growth is a journey, and it means that it takes time. Sure, we want to speed up the process, but we can't. It's a lifetime journey. It's this life called Christianity with the blessed hope at the end. Eternal life with Christ. So at the core of this journey are disciplines to help us grow spiritually. One of them I already mentioned. Read the Bible. Read the Bible daily. The Bible says that the truth will set you free. Free from worry. Free from the expectations of others. Free from guilt. Jesus said this in John 8:31 and 32 in the New Living Translation. If you are truly my disciples, if you remain faithful to my teachings, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And then pray. Pray daily. Disciples spend time with Jesus and spend time with God's word. In John 15, verse 7 and 8, says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, then ask me anything you wish and you shall have it. That's in the Good News Bible. So when we become disciples by bearing fruit, we bear fruit by remaining in Jesus and having his word remain in us. We listen to God through his word. We talk to God through prayer. And you can talk to God anywhere you're at. You can worship God, as I said last week. You can worship God wherever you are. And you can talk to God anytime. If somebody says, who are you talking to? I'm talking to God. Because I sometimes have to answer myself when I talk to myself. And probably the answer that I get is probably from God. I'm just restating it. I don't know. The only time I really get into trouble when I don't pay attention. And giving. Giving is something that is part of our life. Christ gave his life so that we could be free. Tithing and special gifts and all of that stuff. It's good to share with other people. Too many people sitting in the churches are just possessed by their possessions, and they don't want to let go of anything to help somebody. Fortunately, that's not the case in this church, as you outpoured your love and faith by helping the folks that had the Hurricane Michael not long ago. And I'll close with this. Fellowship. Fellowship weekly. That's what we're doing here this morning. We're coming together, and we come together as other believers in our life to help us grow. Worshiping weekly is also just not enough. Significant relationships develop when people just attend corporate worship. People need to have the opportunity to have small groups or get a prayer partner, somebody you can trust that you can help grow within the time from Sunday to Sunday. There's no shortcuts in spiritual growth. And while we worry about how fast people grow, God's concern, God wants us to be good. You know how long it takes to make a mushroom, Travis? Huh? You know how long it takes God to make a mushroom? Six hours. I often wondered about that. Walking out in the morning, and there wasn't any mushrooms there in the yard, and the next morning it's there. Now, some of them mushrooms you might not want to eat. I love mushrooms, Judy knows. But it takes 6 hours to make a mushroom. You know how long it takes to make an oak tree? It takes 60 years. So if you want to be a mushroom or an oak tree, and if you follow God's will, and you read the Bible, and you pray, and you come together with weekly fellowship, you will grow in grace. It won't happen right away, but I'd rather be an oak tree than a mushroom.